taught him the third word, he forgot the first two. So such a dull student, he don't know anything. And he started learning for many years in the monastery, and he did not remember even a single word. He is unable to practice anything. Then one day, his teacher became so tired of him, and he took that boy to Buddha and told everything to Buddha, and Buddha told him that, oh, it's all right, let him to clean the monastery, let him give this job to him to clean the monastery, give him one broom and he will clean it. And Buddha told him to say Dilpang Thimapang, two words. Dilpang means abandon the dust. Thimapang means abandon the obscurations. Two words. Buddha told him saying that when you use your broom, you say Dilpang Thimapang, something like that. When Buddha taught that, Dilpang, when he said Thimapang, Dilpang, he forgot. And he was trying his best to clean the Chuklakang. Chuklakang is a big monastery in Tibetan wood. When he was cleaning that big monastery, he said Dilpang Thimapang. It's difficult for him to remember this. And when he just cleaned the dust from here, as soon as it reaches just near the door, the wind comes and all the dust enter inside again. Again he go in the inside, and again he started cleaning that. When he reaches near the door, again the wind comes and it again spread all the dust here. In this way he started always doing that with that with it. One day, what happened? He was saying that Dilpang Thimapang. He immediately remembers that. Oh, when he was cleaning the dust, it's difficult to throw all the dust outside because the wind is coming that side. Now, Thimapang. Thimapang means the obscuration, the defilements within the mind. So when he was saying Thimapang, he immediately remembers, because of the blessings of Buddha, he has a deep faith at that moment, deep devotion. And he thought Thimapang means some bad smellings, actually bad smellings of the defilement, the ignorant, the anger, jealousy. He immediately remembers that, and he became omniscient. He knows everything immediately, because Buddhas are really compassionate. Buddha used to teach in a skillful means. That teaching is a kind of skillful. Through cleaning the dust, he purifies his inner defilement, and he became arahat. You know the arahat? He is away from samsara. So you just imagine, even a dull student can do that way. If you have the faith, if you have the devotion, you can understand it. Because Buddhas are not outside. Don't search the Buddhas outside. But Buddhas are here within. Buddhas are very near here. If you go on thinking here and try to understand your real nature of your mind, that is the Buddha nature. If you understand that, you are Buddha. There is no other Buddha outside, but Buddha is here. But when we say there are countless Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, many, many immeasurable Buddhas, when we say that way, but that is a symbolic. Because Buddhas used to teach with skillful means, different forms of Buddhas, but actually all Buddhas are one. There's no true Buddha, three Buddha, but there's only one Buddha. Because all Buddhas are one. When you realize your own Buddha nature, when you recognize your real Buddha nature, then you become Buddha, you purified everything, and you are fully enlightened. At that moment, you realize that everything is now pure. There is nothing which is not pure. Impure is not there. Impure and pure is met by our mind. There is no dualistic mind. When you become fully enlightened, it is away from that. It is completely purified. So through these techniques, you can do the purification practices. Now, whatever, now these are the examples. When I am not saying only the stones to clean that, only the dust, but there are many ways now you can do that. When you're cutting your hairs, you think that all defilements, all the obscurations were cut out and finished. You think that way. When you wash, you think that everything is washed away. Not your face, but you wash your inner defilement, your obscurations which are obstructing you to become Buddha. So you think that way. These are the techniques that you can do it without any visualization. And one important thing, for example, when you go to toilet and you pass the water and you throw the excrement, that means you are not passing the water and you are not throwing the dirty things. But you must think that you are purifying all the defilements. You think that way now. That is also a sort of practice. Why not think? Because everything comes from your mind. If you think that, if you create from your mind saying that you are washing all those defilements, obscurations, through that also you can purify. Without any visualization, you can do that way also. If you are unable to practice according to the texts, according to the teachings, to visualize all those things, if you are unable to do that way, you just remember Buddha Vajrasattva in front of you or on the crown of your head, you think that way, and then you just purify everything, whatever you see on the way. You can do the purifications any time now. When you are speaking some good words, some soft word to your friend, you think that you are giving the blessings. You think that you are purifying the defilements what they have. For example, if someone is speaking ill of you, if they are using some harsh word, very not sweet word, at that time don't become angry. Be patient. And you think that that is the blessing of Buddha. Even though he is speaking bad words, harsh words, and speaking ill of you, but don't think that he is speaking that way, but he is your teacher who is giving you the chance of practice. You think that he is your real teacher now. And through that you can practice and you can also purify your defilement at that time. Why not you can do that way? Because most of the bodhisattvas, they always do that like that. When the bodhisattva who is practicing the generosity, then he became, when he did not find any person who is begging, when he did not find any person, poor person, to give something to those persons, the beggars, then he became sad. But when he hears someone who begs you something, if someone knocks your door and he says that, please give me something, if there is a bodhisattva in that room, he hears that very sweet. That word, that sound, that sentence is one of the most sweetest word in his ear, because he hears someone is speaking to him. Because he thinks that now he get the chance to practice of patience, to giving alms. And if that person begs him to give the eye, then that bodhisattva became so happy, he used to take out the eye and he will give it to him. That means that person who is begging, who is disturbing him to take out his eyes, is the best teacher to him now. Because he gave you the chance of practicing. So why not? If someone is saying some bad things or using some harsh word, or whenever someone is disturbing you, at the time you must think that he is your teacher and try to purify yourself now. Try to control your passions. Try to passions, or try to control your anger. Try to control your ego, arrogance. If you are arrogant, if you use some word from your side, then again the reaction comes from there. So in this way, it will increase your defilement. So it is not necessary to react. So it is most important is be patient. Be patient. Try to practice patience and control your anchors and ego, arrogant. Then through that idea you can now minimize. You can dispel all kind of difficulties, all kind of obscurations. Diseases can be also cured. That is also very important. Now, day-to-day life, during your day-to-day life, when you become sick, now at that time, it is necessary. You must think that if you have a headache or stomach pain or some fever, if fever is there, or some problems in your stomach, kidney problem, any type of problem, if you have that kind of diseases, now at that time again, why not you can practice the purification practice. You can use that skillfully now during that period. If your kidney is not so strong, now at that time, at that moment, you think that this kind of problem is not only with me. This kind of problem is with many, many thousands and countless living beings are suffering. You must think that way. So may those sufferings related with this kidney problem be transferred to me. You think that way. Transfer all those problems on me. I will take that now. I will bear that problem now in place of all living beings now. All living beings, whoever they are suffering in the kidney, if they have kidney problems, then you just think that all those problems were transferred on your disease. And you are bearing on that. You are trying to take all those problems. And then just think that you became happy because all those living beings who are suffering became freed from there, and you must feel happy now because they are now cured. They don't have that disease. Because all the diseases have been taken or transferred on you. And then try to visualize Buddha Vajrasattva and try to purify that. That is a strong way of thinking. And it can also help you to purify that disease. So not only that, there are many different types of diseases that there are. AIDS, cancers. Some diseases we cannot name them. Many dreadful, dangerous diseases are also coming now because of degenerated age. Because of the lack of faith to Buddha, Dharma and Sangha, the defilement increases so strongly. Because of that, they accumulate a lot of negative karmas. So normally, different types of disease arise out. And we can't name them immediately. So, just to destroy all these, why not do some sort of practice, the purification practice? Try to think that, try to control your mind, and then visualize Buddha Vajrasattva. And you are take it, that disease, you just think that all kind of diseases, whatever the living beings are suffering, you just think, transform them into you. And you are able to bear it now. You have to think that way, that you can bear that and you can practice in place of all living beings. On behalf of all living beings, you are practicing on that. And then try to do some practice of purification. Visualize your root guru, who is inseparable of Vajrasattva, and then purify it. It can also help you to purify all the defilements. So in Buddha's teachings, there are different types of doing. If you are skillful, if you are thoughtful, then you can do any kind of purification. Any kind of purification. If you are skillful, you use your brain, you use your mind, and try to think for the benefit of all living beings. Don't think only for your happiness. Try to think for the happiness of all living beings. Because they are also suffering. They have also suffering, and they don't want suffering. They want only happiness. Even though they want happiness, but their actions are doing something bad that will bring the suffering. So why not think for the living beings? And when you give them, you give all goodness, all pure things. And when you take back, you try to take all those obstructions, problems, whatever they are facing, you try to take it on you and try to practice that, to purify that. So in this way, it is better if you can do that way. It is really very useful, maybe. Through that also you can do that. Normally speaking, a person who is a good practitioner, when he suffers, when he reaches in certain critical time, or when he is become seriously sick, if he is a good practitioner, he practices during that period. even though he is very serious, but his mind is not serious. His mind used to think that he is taking all the diseases on him, and he is trying to purify that on behalf of all living beings. If you do that way, it can help you to cure quickly. If you don't want disease, you practice that way. If you want to become, stay healthy, you practice that way. Then normally you can stay healthy. If your mind is healthy, then your body is also healthy. If your mind is weak, then your body is also not so healthy. So it depends upon your mind. Now, a person who is not a practitioner, if he fell ill, then normally he cries too much, saying that, I'm feeling not well, I'm doing this and that, I'm suffering. He starts shouting and he becomes angry. He wants to show his anger to a person who is helping to him. Normally you will become angry-minded at that time. That means you are not a good practitioner. Control during that period. A person who is helping to you when you are sick is like Buddha of medicine. And why you are showing your anger to him? No use. If you show anger to that person who is helping, if it helps you to cure, then show anger. That's good. But that is not a logic. That is not a reasonable. If you control your anger, if you control your ego, if you control your arrogance, and then a person who is helping you, to him, you show your compassion, you respect him because he is helping you. And give him some encouragement. This is one sort of practicing again. If you do that way, then normally your disease will be cured very quickly. You don't need much medicine to eat. The medicine is here if you can use it. You can use through your mind. You have that medicine, and then it can help you to cure. So any time you just think, any type of profession, even a teacher, if the students are not listening, if the students are fighting to the teachers, then normally the teacher becomes angry. So at the time, if he is a good practitioner, he won't become angry. He controls and he tries to maintain peace, and he tries to explain them what is wrong and what is right. In this way, if he can handle that, then he is a good practitioner. At the moment, if he is unable to handle that and he became angry and he started beating the student, then the student will start fighting with the teacher, and then lot of creation of bad karmas will arise here. So better to stop that. Now it depends upon the person, individual's mind at that moment. When we are happy, we say, there is a saying in Tibetan people, they have a saying, a kind of song. I always used to say this, I don't know whether you understand it or not. Now see, Thang desa ledu lu ala thala. Thang thosa ledu lama ujian pema chen. They say like that. This means when you reach in a very smooth place, very calm, very nice place, then you started going singing, you are singing. That means you are happy. When you reach in certain places where there is some difficult, then you start saying, Guru Mukhi, Guru Mukhi, you recite the Buddha Amita, Buddha Amita, something like that. So that is not good. Always remember Guru Rinpoche and Buddha Amita all the time. We have a habit of remembering Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. We have a habit of reciting the name of Buddhas, Buddha Amita, Guru Rinpoche, during the time of problems. So that is not the right action, I should say. You should remember your root guru and your Guru Rinpoche and Buddha Amita all the time, especially when you are happy. I suggest that when you are happy, you must remember your Buddha, Buddhas and Bodhisattva, and your root guru. But normally, this is a habitual now, say, that when we face problem, then we go to root guru and we see, we recite the name of our Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. That's good. I'm not saying that that is bad, but that is good. But that is not a good way of practicing. The good way of practicing is you must remember Buddha and Bodhisattva, your root guru, always, especially when you are happy. But we people, we used to think that when we are happy, when we are successful, we thought that it is done by myself. My root guru has not done anything. I have done it, so I am happy. You think that way, so that is why you forgot your root guru and your Buddha Amitabha and Buddha Guru Rinpoche. So at that time, when you get success, when you get something good, result comes good, at that moment you must think that it is the blessings of your root guru and your Guru Rinpoche and Buddha Amitabha. So if you go on thinking that way, that is good. So in Tibetan saying, Thang desa ledu lo ala tala, Thang dosa ledu lama guru pema chin. If they say, that is good. You remember Guru Rinpoche when you face problem. That is good. But I doesn't mean that way now. You should remember Guru Rinpoche when you face difficulties. And also you must remember Guru Rinpoche when you are happy. So this shows whether you are a good practitioner or not. When you face some problems, when you reach in certain critical situation, at that time, if you are mindful, if you are thoughtful to tackle that or handle that, calm, with calm and quiet, you handle it very skillfully, then you are a good practitioner. It will help you. Because at the time of death, that is the most critical junction, critical moment. So at that moment, if you can tackle that, handle it skillfully, then you will become Buddha. Because we are unable to do that, we are wandering in this samsara now. So that is important. All the time when you face some problems, it's good to remember your root guru and Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. It's good, very good. But you must remember all the time. So, what I mean to say is, today's talk regarding with the practice of purification. You can do purification all the time. Wherever you go, you can do that practice. Whatever they are doing. When you enter into the in the dense forest, the person who go first, he faces more problems because he have to clear up the road. So at the time also, you can practice again. You are clearing all the defilements of creations which are obstructing you to become Buddha. You think that way. These are not the trees. These are not the herbs. You are clearing all kind of obstacles and helping all persons who are coming after you so that you can lead them very smoothly. So in this way, why not? You can do all the time. Wherever you go, you can do it. So last time also I told you that when you are going on the sightseeing, now there also you can do many things. You can do the purification practices. Because Buddha's teaching is really, if you study, if you go inside the Buddha's teachings, it is really very profound, so deep. The more you go, the more you study, the more faith and devotion arises. That is the quality of Buddha's teachings. So Buddha's teaching has different types of way of helping the living beings. So now see here the purification practices. During this time also you can do any kind of purification method. Daily, early in the morning also, when we get up early in the morning, we wash our face, we wash our teeth, and then we clean the altar, we clean our room. After cleaning the room, we clean the altars. After cleaning all, then we offer the pure waters. At that time also, you can use this technique now. With the view of purifying your inner defilement, your karmic